BetDSI.com. March Madness is here. You got the Final Four this weekend. BetDSI.com is your number one place for all your betting needs. If you put in the promo code TAKE10, you get a $10 free play. I told everyone, I think 2 days ago, the unders are going to come in on Saturday. No one can shoot in the Houston RG something or other dome. So take the unders, go to BetDSI.com, put in promo code TAKE10, and you'll get a $10 free play. Take that $10, parlay the unders. I don't know, they'll pay out like 35, 45 bucks.
See, what I feel like you're doing right here is you're using your influence to make everybody in America bet the unders on these games. And so you're going to drive the line down a little bit, and then you're going to hop all over the overs. Because I can't. When have you ever said, besides on Christmas Day, to take the unders?
So that's BetDSI.com. I don't know. I just got my ad hijacked by some voice from the clouds. BetDSI.com, promo code TAKE10. Let's go. Hey!
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. It is Friday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. We actually didn't even think of an April Fool's joke. How stupid was that?
I feel like April Fool's jokes are for chicks. Let's be honest. Like,
if you do an April Fool's, I've been taking a lot of man cards recently, and I hate to have like just a deck full of man cards sitting on my desk. But if you do an April Fool's joke, I'm taking your fucking man card.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's for chicks and also like corporations. It's usually pretty hilarious when a corporation tweets something out like, hey, we're Taco Bell and we bought the Liberty Bell. Ha ha ha. Just kidding. April Fools. Like that's comedy gold. It's a holiday for girls and for brands. That's about it.
Yeah. Brands. Big brand holiday. A bunch of people sitting around in a conference room thinking of the lamest joke they can come up with. And they all kind of laugh. The way I see that one going is there's probably someone who's head of marketing who's just has no sense of humor. And everyone's scared of them. And so they say, hey, we got to do an April Fool's joke. And everyone laughs at it, even though it's awful. And that's how you get April Fool's jokes all over the internet. So be careful. Have your head on a swivel today. You never know where the April Fool's joke's coming from. All right. We have an awesome show. Awesome, awesome show. I want to ask you, do you think anyone else in this world can have a show with a Hall of Fame baseball player, a BMX Hall of Famer, and an NFL football player all in one show? No,
I don't think that it's possible for us to even do, but somehow I think we pulled it off. I'm gonna give you a little bit of credit for dropping the Michael Wilbon name drop of the week, sponsored by Michael Wilbon, because when you called me up and you were like, hey, no big deal or anything, but Kyle Long just said that he's bored and wants to be on the show. He just texted me. We're buddies. And you tried to play it off like you were cool.
He did that.
Just know that I'm onto your game, and I got your name dropped. So.
Well, you know what? Let's just go right into the Kyle Long piece. So basically what happened was yesterday Kyle was waiting for some treatment on his back. He called me up. No big deal. He's got my number. We're friends. He called me up. He said, hey, I got nothing going on. You want to do a quick podcast, something? And we said, yes, come on. And we talked about Swaggy P, D'Angelo Russell, and Kyle seeing a UFO. I don't think anyone in the NFL has ever been on a podcast talking about their UFO experience. So here's Kyle Long talking about all of that. All right, we have special guest Kyle Long from our Chicago Bears. By the way, do you get upset when fans like me say, like, us and we?
It depends. Like, I'd let you do it because, you know, you've ridden the ups and downs of the Bears. A lot of people just, like, are convenient fans, like, you know, when it's convenient. But I definitely, you know what, if somebody's got season tickets, if somebody's got generations invested, yeah, it's a we thing.
It's a we when we win and a they when you guys lose. That's how I like to do it, just to make sure, just to differentiate so I never end up being a loser. All right. Sure. you just called me randomly. You got treatment in a minute, but you wanted to hop on. We appreciate it. I actually want you to become like a semi-regular, so we'll do it a little different. Instead of like the straight interview, we're just going to have you be part of one of the segments that we're talking about right now, and it's Swaggy P, who, for anyone who doesn't know, anyone's living under a rock, D'Angelo Russell basically took a video of Swaggy P saying that he was cheating on Iggy, and the video got online, and now basically everyone in the Lakers locker room despises D'Angelo Russell, won't eat with him, won't pass him the ball, like basically hate his guts. So my question to you, Kyle, if this happened in you obviously have been in a lot of professional locker rooms, like what ends up happening? Do you have to trade this guy? Like you can't have him around, right?
Honestly, I think the difference between basketball guys and football guys is that you would never even hear a story like this come out. And if it did come out, it would be kept in house and somebody would get their shit kicked in. And then it would kind of be like, let's move on, keep the drama between ourselves and then figure it out. But I mean, I don't know. It's like basketball guys, their faces are like, you know, in the media. Like we wear helmets, you can't see us. We're not really that kind of celebrity. Swaggy P's dating, I mean, Iggy Azalea. I guess they're the swag bros. I guess they're no longer the swag bros, huh?
I mean, you can't really hate on Swaggy P too much for cheating on Iggy Azalea, though, right? I feel like she is – if you're going to cheat on somebody, you should cheat on Iggy.
Cheating, but I think that that's one of those relationships that's probably in the public eye. You know, it benefits both of them. It's a symbiotic relationship. I wouldn't think that it's one that's really, like, organic.
In terms of pranks, like locker room pranks, obviously, you know, at camp, you guys tie the guy up to the goalpost, you know, throw him in the ice bath. Where does secretly taping your teammate and then putting it on the internet rank in pranks? Like just guys being guys or what?
Terrible. I mean, it's like how stupid do you have to be? I mean, it's like, is that even considered a prank?
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
That was their excuse. They've been pranking each other all year. Yeah, no shit. They've won 7 games.
That's like it's like in like middle school when you guys are when you're like busting balls with your friends and then one guy's like, yeah, I hope your mom dies from cancer, and then everyone's like,
it's like, oh Jimmy.
And the guy's like, my mom did die from cancer, and shit.
Or it's like, you know, you're hanging out in like, you know, third grade, you know, everybody's trying to act cool in front of the girls, and it's like, hey, Dan crapped his pants yesterday.
What a prank. He got ya.
So like I would have loved it if Instagram and all the shit was around back in like the Showtime era Lakers. Like imagine how many players' wives that like Magic Johnson was banging at the time. I just wish that social media had been around for some of those other teams so we could see just how dysfunctional they really were.
Yeah, generations past would have never been able to make it with the social media, the 21st. Much more exposed to it.
What was that exploding?
Did we lose you?
Somebody exploded on your computer.
Are you Skyping in from Syria right now? What's going on?
Is it going through an earthquake? Are you a robot now?
Shoot me in the face?
Oh, there we go.
Yo, there you go.
Trying to
I don't know what the issue.
You sound good. You sound
I don't
good.
Know what the issue was, guys.
That's okay. All right, let's pick it up because we were in a nice flow. Yeah. All right. What did, now, speaking of social media and like different eras, Does Howie ever say, like, what the hell's going on? Does he ever scold you guys for being on Twitter and Instagram and, like, putting your lives out there and playing video games and fighting with, like, 12-year-olds every night?
I think he gets the video game thing because I, like, never go out. Like, you will never see me at 3 a.m. leaving a club on TMZ. Not because I'm the hardo that's like, don't go out, lift all the time, cut trees down, be a beast. It's just because I'm, like, I'm a freaking loser and I can, like, accept that. And I think my dad gets that and... I think that his biggest gripe is like, what are you doing on social media? Like, you don't even know these people.
Right. Yeah. When you, I will say this, the Long brothers are 1 and 2. Actually, no, 1. You guys both are ranked 1. I'm ranking both of you 1 for not taking shit on social media.
That's like that's a smart business decision on your part to rank us both number 1 there.
I did. It's like the coaches poll in the BCS or whatever. So I just did that. You guys. Won't and I think that like I think athletes for the most part when they get people when they try to interact on social media and try to be real and then they actually like have real responses they get criticized for it. I appreciate that you both basically give real responses. You're like, this is who I am, I'm here and I'm giving you me.
Well, you got to keep in mind, we grew up in the rivals.com era, so we could come up with troll accounts ourselves and make fun of people. Yeah. So we used to like troll writers that would rank us poorly and stuff. And we have some experience in it, but now that it's like role reversal, you know, we like to put the little troll hat on every once in a while as well.
All right, I got a question. You're out in Arizona. How important is your off-season training to make sure that, like, your lifting, your box jumps, your different skill training gets onto social media?
Well, the new thing at the gym that I'm training at is they've been doing, like, a player spotlight thing, so there are cameras in the gym for the first time, and it's kind of uncomfortable. I like to do, like, the post-workout throw-up or, like, the hanging out with the boys after the workout videos because those are always funny. But you know, I'm not much for, my hands are always too sweaty to work the iPhone during the workout anyway. Like I can't even change a song. So, if somebody else has a camera, I mean, sweet, but it's not my priority.
Yeah. So you trained with Jay Glazer, is that right?
I did train with Jay Glazer. Yes.
And so he does like MMA stuff and puts you through the ringer and teaches you how to fight, right?
Pretty much where Bane trained to become like the doomsday monster that he was down in the basement, like just getting the shit kicked out of him.
Do you think that Jay Glazer could beat you up?
I think Jay Glazer knows a lot of things physically that a lot of people wouldn't be able to comprehend just because you look at him and you're like, what does this guy know? I mean, the guy, there's like, you'll need a body bag if you want to take him out because like he will die for his cause.
Short guy. Short guys, I'm telling you, because like I'm a short guy and you have to know all the tricks because you can't fight anybody fair. So you learn a lot of weird shit when you're below like 5'9".
Well, I don't know if you've ever wrestled a fire hydrant, but that's kind of what fighting Jay Glazer's like. And it's not a very, very good experience.
Does Jay wrestle with the guys? Oh yeah.
I mean, Jay gets in there. Jay is a motherfucker, man. Like he'll get in there and he will wear you out. And he's one of those guys that's going to beat you mentally far before you break physically.
That's amazing. So he, I mean, I can't even imagine.
He was a fighter. He was like a cage fighter, and then he was a comedian, and now he trains like elite athletes. So it's kind of a cool dynamic.
So obviously, like if you're creating a power ranking of who the toughest NFL analysts and like NFL media guys are, you got to put Jay number one, right?
I'm putting Pops above Jay because I just think Jay doesn't stand a chance against my Pops. But I know that Jay would handle his business in large numbers.
I didn't even think of Howie. That's fair. And then
flat top trump card.
Yeah. I don't even think now let's ask it this way, because this is a better way to ask it. If you teamed up Rappaport, Schefter, and say like Jason LaConfort or whatever his name is, and those three guys,
Anchorman style
against just Jay Glazer, who wins that fight?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It would be a lot like the Batman Superman movie, because somewhere there's somebody flying out of the sky that would land next to Glazer and be like, "I got your back, bro." He's got friends. He's got like Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture in his corner. And those guys don't play by the rules. They're going to show up and they're going to kick somebody's ass.
It would probably be Michael Strahan. I feel like Jay Glazer, like Michael Strahan is always within shouting distance.
Stray would be in a suit and he would be probably announcing the whole thing to the world in a very, very like politically correct way and looking sharp as hell while doing it.
Hey, have you ever talked to Jay about the time that he saw a UFO?
No, actually, I have not, but I also heard Aaron Rodgers saw a UFO. I'm a fan of UFOs. I believe. I'm a believer.
Oh, if you don't believe UFOs, then I think you're a sucker.
I saw one last year in Scottsdale. Somebody told me we were by the airport, but I was like, don't believe it. Moved way too fast. Awkward movements. UFO.
Wait, so you did see a UFO?
Yeah, I was driving north on Scottsdale, and I was going to Kierland. I'm not sure if any of you guys are familiar with the area in Scottsdale, but it's like a nice, you know, where all the good-looking, you know, moms and stuff hanging out up here. And I was driving up there going to go get, like, some organic lunch or whatever, and I absolutely saw a UFO.
Suck on Aaron Rodgers. Love it. Love it.
It was like stopping in the air. It was meandering. It was making, like, crazy, like, and I think I saw, like, a little green arm out the window waving at me. I'm not even, like, 100% sure.
We should actually make this, like, a running bit. Where whenever Aaron Rodgers does an interview and like says something outrageous, we'll just have you on this show and you just copy exactly what he says and we'll be like, Kyle Long also saw a UFO. So whatever, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're ignorant not to think that there's aliens, like, checking us out. Like, look at these goobers down here. Look at these idiots fighting amongst each other.
What are you more scared of? What are you more scared of, ghosts or aliens?
Sharks.
Okay, good answer. Kyle, we appreciate you joining. We would like you to maybe become, like, a semi-regular guest, I think, if you are willing to. This is my formal offer, by the way. I've been meaning to, like, get up the, like, muster to ask you. So this is me asking you kind of on the spot. You don't have to say yes now, but it would be awesome if you did say yes right now.
Let's have a soft agreement.
Okay, soft so we will see. So we will see Kyle again on this show at some point, maybe semi-regularly. We appreciate you coming on. Go, you know, jump on some boxes and make sure you let us know how high they were.
See you guys.
All right, later. So that was Kyle Long. We appreciate Kyle coming on. Like I said, we're going to hopefully have Kyle. I'm going to try to get Kyle every week, every other week in the fall. We'll see.
I would also like to have, like, do something with him and Chris at the same time where we have, like, a brother off, like Family Feud, except the family's divided. Like, maybe have Howie stop by sometime too. Like, I feel like we could do something with those two guys.
If we could figure out a way to get Chris and Kyle to actually, like, have a fist fight in studio whenever we do have a studio.
Yeah.
That might be something we want to just kind of put on the big board, the dream board, and just have it circled and be like, all right, remember, we got to get to that fight where we rip a family apart.
Yeah, we'll have, and then eventually we'll have them do like a WrestleMania type thing against the Gronkowskis, like a Royal Rumble or a tag team event. There you go, two Gronkowskis versus two Longs.
That's a tough one. I would probably take the Longs, to be honest. Kyle is a massive, massive dude.
Right, I think both Kyle and Chris outweigh Rob Gronkowski. Like I think Rob's like 240, 250, something like that. Yeah. Now, and then if you throw the dads into the equation, if you get Gordo going up against Howie, I would absolutely take the Longs. I think that Howie is a crazy man, and Gordy's probably like half drunk all the time anyways.
I'd take Howie in any single fight. All right, we wanted to quickly talk about, you brought up a story to me before the show started. What was it? It was Pablo Sandoval. What happened with him?
Yeah, so Pablo Sandoval showed up to spring training for the Red Sox, conservatively speaking, like 80 pounds overweight. And that's a lot to be overweight if you're a baseball player. And so even though he signed like a 5-year, I think it was like $100 million contract this offseason, they benched him. They benched him at third base for opening day just for being fat. So I don't know if the union has a position on this, if it's against the rules to bench a player for being clinically obese, because like that's technically a disease, isn't it? Isn't morbid obesity classified?
We don't have the same rights. We do not have the same rights. We're not a persecuted class, as far as I know. If we are a persecuted class, I'd like to know so that I could start getting some being like a social justice warrior for fat people. But as of right now, I don't think that we do get persecuted class status. I'll just say this though: benching him is like the opposite of what you want to do. Like, if I'm a fat guy, if you tell me, like, hey, you're too fat to do your job, so you're just not going to do it anymore, I'm like, so what's the catch? I get to just sit and, like, hang out in the clubhouse now? Like, really? Okay, cool. If you want to get Pablo Sandoval to lose weight, you make him play, like, a simulated game, then the real game, then, like, another simulated game. Like, just starve him to death and make him work so hard that he has to lose the weight. Don't have him sit on his ass and do nothing.
I would love it if they gave him like one of those stand-up desks in the dugout that he has to be standing at like all game long, like on a little like a treadmill underneath, like he's a hamster on a wheel. So if they even though he's not out there exercising, he's burning the calories anyways. That's what they need to do. Also, we need to get Mike on the show, Dave's dad, to talk to you about maybe obesity is a protected class. Like,
let's do it. Maybe Monday we'll have Mike Portnoy on the show. Stick. Okay, Monday or Wednesday, we'll have Mike Portnoy on the show to talk about the being a fat man in America and if the the MLBPA has a right to fight for Pablo Sandoval. The other thing they could do is they get like one of those physio balls or whatever they're called and just have him sit on that. That's the core. Maybe
have the core all day long.
Just have Pablo Sandoval just be working on that core while he's doing absolutely nothing. I seriously don't get it though. Wouldn't you want the guy who's fat and out of shape to actually like go out and work and burn some calories?
To be extra, yeah, he's eaten himself into a huge payday that he has no, he doesn't have to work for it anymore. Like, actually, you know what he could be doing? He could be forcing the Red Sox hand into turning him into a designated hitter, like 5 years ahead of schedule.
That's a good point, because this is Poppy's last year. I'll also say this, that the baseball, just being a baseball player, and everyone says, oh, they're not great athletes, that kind of lends itself to getting fat like that. I can't really blame them. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're going to say baseball players are fat and out of shape and not real athletes in that respect, don't get mad when the guy eats too much chicken in the offseason and comes in like 700 pounds overweight.
I guess you could say that he puts the LB in MLB. We'll cut that out in post.
And with that, let's go to your Lisa ad.
So don't sleep on fat people, but also don't not sleep on a Lisa mattress. Lisa is like the Tom Shoes or Warby Parker for mattresses. Lisa Mattress has done away with the awkward mattress showroom experience that we've all suffered through by creating a luxury mattress that's completely ordered online and it ships for free to your doorstep, compressed in a box the size of a mini fridge. I might even get two when I move up to New York. If it's coming in a box that small, like hell, why not just get two and stack them on top of each other? We got 10 inches, and it comes in all sizes, and it's crafted with three unique foam layers, including 2 inches of memory foam and 2 inches of a really cool latex-like foam called Avena TM that's perforated to keep you cool as the other side of the pillow. The Lisa mattress is 100% made in the USA, and it ships for free to anywhere in the USA and to Canada. And Lisa gives you 100 nights to try your mattress risk-free, and for every 10 that they sell, they donate one to a shelter. How awesome is that? So go to leesa.com/pardonmytake and enter promo code pardonmytake at checkout to get $75 off your mattress. That was a good segue, I thought.
I thought you did great. I, if people haven't figured out now, my goal every show is to give PFT the worst possible segue for every single one of his ads. That one was...
that one's pretty good.
That one was so bad it made me feel like cringed for myself.
I am still cringing from it, but it, I guess on another level it was very good.
Yeah, it was the best that you could do. All right, yeah. Now we have a great guest. We have Johnny Bench, who is a Hall of Famer. He joined me. You were actually in flight, so you weren't able to be in on this interview.
Yep.
But I got a couple of your questions in, so let's kick it to the Johnny Bench interview. All right, we now bring on 14-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champion, MLB Hall of Famer, easily the most accomplished guy we've ever had on the show, Cincinnati Reds catcher Johnny Bench. Johnny, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, happy to be here. I'm moved up in status here. Thanks.
There you go. You're number one. So you are here. You're doing the rounds right now, talking about opening day, which is coming up quickly upon us. Your whole idea is that opening day should be more of a national holiday where everyone's playing on the same day games, which I agree with. So talk to me about, you know, your feelings, your memories of opening day and what you'd like opening day to go back to.
Well, Kingsford came to me and it was the idea that Cincinnati forever was the first game of the season. It was the parade. It was everything about it. Baseball just followed that tradition forever and ever. And then all of a sudden the Dodgers are playing in Australia and they decide that maybe we should do it a little bit different. And then Cincinnati was kind of pushed to the side. So I was an easy mark. I said, you know, baseball is tradition I want to have. And I think baseball, and I'm actually pushing for a national baseball day. I don't know why, you know, if I were elected president, and maybe I'll talk to one of those, that we shouldn't have a baseball day and everybody just has one thing in mind, and that's going to the ballparks. And Kingsford said that they will barbecue in every city and will put on the biggest barbecue you've ever seen. So you go to Kingsford.com if you agree with me and pull up Take Back Opening Day. So let's get this season started.
Listen, if you are running for president on the platform that you're giving me a day where I can get drunk and go watch baseball, you have my vote. Let's talk about
St. Patrick's Day. Come on, Dan. Yeah. They might as well have a national baseball day.
Exactly. All right. Let's talk about opening day.
Sure.
Your memories of opening day, I've always felt, and tell me if this is right or wrong, the players and the fans, opening day is so much fun, and then the next day comes and you're like, oh, wow, this is a really long season.
Yeah, you know it. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the fact that opening day is everybody wants their tickets. Everybody wants to know where they are. Everybody, you're just coming back from spring training. And basically, your apartment's not ready. Your house is not ready. All of a sudden, now you've got to get that. You've got to bring down everything to the ballpark the day before for a workout. You've got to move back every family's in, and now they want to see it and everything else. And the parade is coming, and you know you're going to be delayed probably. You know, you're going to miss an hour on the field just for all the ceremonies. And you got the, you know, the clowns coming in from the Shriners. You've got the elephants marching through there. You've got the Budweiser wagon going around the field. So, but it was, you know, it meant so much to the fan. And it was, it's the beginning of, you know, the warm time coming. It's the beginning of everything that we love in the fact that baseball and hot weather and your team now has a chance of winning the pennant. We always think that before the first game.
Well, the Reds don't this year, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're a little bit in behind.
I'm a Cubs guy. I'm a Chicago guy, so I'm
You got
I'm
a happy. Shot. Yeah. You got a shot. A
we got a shot.
Shot
this year. Too many people are picking us shot. To win it all. But
well, I think that's fine. You know, you got a lot of young guys that have really come up out of the minor leagues and have just absolutely performed. And they come up with so much confidence, and they really look professional. And it's exciting to see because I got a lot of fans and friends that are Cub fans. So, you know, you pull for them in a lot of ways. If, you know, if the Reds aren't going to win it, let the Cubs.
There you go. I like that. All right. It's been a hot topic in all of the internet and baseball, bat flips. You are one of the – actually, probably the greatest catcher of all time. If a guy bat flips – on you, right in your face. What do you do when he comes back?
He's going to go down on his butt.
You're going to call for the inside heat?
You didn't even have to. You know, the pitcher already knows it. The thing, you know, he's standing out there and you show him up. I can understand if it's a game-ending situation where the guy gets excited. But, you know, in the old days, you know, everybody had a memory. You don't show me up. I mean, you just don't show the other guy up. And now with the advent of all the, you know, I want to make Sports Center, I'm going to do something that'll carry me through this, all this, and all the things that go with it, and the drama. But, you know, the fans eat it up, too. And I don't mind the fact that there's guys that show some enthusiasm and everything else. And, you know, in the moment as an athlete, I don't know that anybody can understand the moment that you're standing up there and the game's on the line and you hit that home run that makes the difference in the game. Sometimes you don't always, you know, you've seen it all. You sort of emulate what you've seen over the years or over the last night when they were showing highlights. And all of a sudden you just do it. And the thought is that now anymore they don't have to worry about it. And, you know, Goose Gossage was saying, hey, I'm going to knock you down and I don't care. You know it's coming. I mean, Drysdale used to hit Willie Mays every game. He would drill him every game. It didn't matter. It wasn't the idea that, you know, he had done anything. He would just said, you're not going to take my plate away.
I got to admit that I'm disappointed in that response because it was so tremendously fair. And I need you to, you know, maybe give me a hot take that I can then, you know, get people to listen to the podcast. I was hoping to Goose Gossage you there. So that was a very fair response. too fair.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you pay the price if you do. You know, in the old days, you get a home run, next guy got thrown, knocked down. It's just, you know, don't start taking some of my plate.
All right. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, the Wade Boggs drank 107 beers in a day story, and this kind of relates to what's going on in the sports today where every athlete has, you know, a Twitter, Instagram, people taking videos, the paparazzi everywhere. What was it like back in the day when you guys had a little more freedom and maybe the road trips took a little longer? Was there a lot of boozing and being able to go in and out of bars with no worries?
Yeah, I mean, you could take a team picture. I mean, guys would always have a drink or two after the game, but I don't, you know, we never had, you know, any kind of the problems that we had, and we didn't have the microscope on us the way we did. I go to spring training in the past several years, and I said, guys, you have to understand something. You know, you play in 15 cities. Well, 14 of those cities don't like you. And in your own city, if you're hitting 240, they don't like you there either. So, you know, people are looking. Either guys are jealous of you or guys don't like you for whatever reason. You walk out of a bar, you've had one drink, two beers, and all of a sudden you walk out of a bar and a guy picks up a cell phone and says, I just saw Johnny Bench driving drunk. And so, you know, with the social, with the way media has become, and now, I mean, Johnny Manziel is the perfect example of anything that he does. People will find that and edit it or do whatever they can. But yeah, people, you know, people aren't huge fans. I mean, you're a Cub fan. You don't like Johnny Bench, or you're because he just beat you. Hey, anything in order to make it happen. It's so you have to really be careful about everywhere you go. I mean, I don't drink and drive. I don't do this. Back in those days, you could go into there because you were either in a cab or within walking distance of the hotel. And it was a whole lot different there. People weren't looking to make a problem.
All right. My co-host is stuck on a plane right now, but he wanted me to ask you this question. He's a big unwritten rules guy. So I have a list of scenarios that might come into the baseball unwritten rules. You tell me your thoughts on them. The first one is stealing a base in an all-star game.
Perfect.
Yes or no? You okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Try to win the game.
Yeah, there you go. Even an all-star game?
Every game.
Okay, I like that. Bunting to break up a no-hitter.
I've done it.
Oh, there it is. How about bowling over the catcher in a kickball game when she's clearly standing in the base path?
Totally untrue. I mean, you should never do that, just for the sake of what that is. I got knocked over by – I was a freshman in high school, and I got hit by a senior – 220-pound fullback, he knocked me into the screen in the backstop. No.
So,
I mean,
are you a fan of the new Buster Posey rules?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's because, you know, as a from a fan's perspective, I enjoyed seeing the collisions at the plate.
Right.
But I also understand you don't want to lose a guy like Buster Posey or Johnny Bench for a stupid play in the middle of, you know, July at the plate.
Well, you know, Bochy had three. He's carried three catchers off of the field because of collisions.
Right.
And you just can't replace them. And why should we be open game? I mean, guys never knew how to block the home plate the proper way anyway. So now, you know, that's why some of these guys suffered. I mean, if you ever watch Mike Socha block home plate, you just wanted to run around him and try to come in from behind him. He was just so unbelievable.
Right. All right. Well, the last one is playing, if you're a batter, like maybe in the bottom of the lineup, and you have like a hardcore rap song as your walk-up music, you think that's a little, what do you think on that rule?
Hardcore rap? No. I just, you know, guys get into themselves too much. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's now on their own bandwagon. They're trying to do something, say, hey, look at me, look at me. You know, it's a, individually, you have to have the best players on each team, but it's about the team. And not about, hey, look at me, look at me.
All right, I got two more questions, then we'll let you go. The first is, if you could pick any player today that could be on the Big Red Machine, a guy that you say, I would love to have played with that guy, who are you picking?
Mike Trout.
Okay, that's a good answer. I was hoping you were going to go with Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo, but I think Mike Trout would be a fair answer.
Well, I mean, who are you going to replace? Pete Rose and Tony Perez to put them out there?
Right. That's a good comeback right there. How about you must like Kyle Schwarber. He's a Cincinnati kid. And I'm hoping that he sticks around he's able to catch a little too. I know they're going to try to get him to catch this year as well.
You know, and you see guys like him, and I thought, okay, fine. He, you know, guys start out like Jay Bruce started out in Cincinnati, and then all of a sudden it kind of flattened out. This kid can hit. I mean, I love it. I just love the old school stuff. He's down in the dirt and tighten that belt up another notch, and I mean, that's cool, man, and he's not afraid to go up there and swing from the heels. He's my kind of guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, we'll end with this question. This is something we do with all of our guests. It's called questions I'm going to ask that you don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So how many times did you see Pete Rose bet on a game that you were playing in? Did we lose you? Thank you for Johnny again for coming out there. Check out, I think it was Kingsford. So opening day is coming up. We're all going to get drunk. We're all going to do some grilling. Have a good time. That Johnny Bench Kingsford interview was brought to you by SeatGeek. You go to the SeatGeek app, you download it, and you get a $20 rebate on your ticket purchase, your first ticket purchase, if you enter the promo code TAKE. So if anyone out there is going to, you know, opening day, if you're trying to go see your team on the road, SeatGeek has the absolute best deals in ticket prices. You can't find a better ticket place on the internet. It's the only place I go. So if you go to the SeatGeek app and you look up where you want to sit in the stadium. They'll give you the best seats, the best views for the best prices. You download the app. You go to the settings tab. You click add a promo code. You enter the promo code TAKE. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 once you made your first ticket purchase. So it's SeatGeek app, promo code TAKE, $20 once you made your first ticket purchase. And that is SeatGeek. All right, let's go into segments. What do we got first?
I want to talk about a new segment. I want to do something brand new here. It's called Prayers Up. Okay? And whenever we see anybody...
Prayers Up, comma, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, either way, you know, depending on what people want to hear, it can be either or. I'm going to call it Prayers Up for now, though. And I want to send prayers up to J.J. Watt this week. Your best friend, J.J. Watt. I guess because former best friend. ESPN reported that he tore his groin in 5 places. So basically, like, his crotch is the equivalent of JPP's hand is what this article is getting at. And he just had all the surgery to repair it. And so some anonymous source told this to ESPN. It could have been anybody that gave him this info. I don't know. It could have been the doctor. It could have been it definitely was not J.J. Watt. That's what I'm saying.
No way.
So he's recovering from some very serious surgery. So I want to give prayers up to him. Just rough situation.
All right. So I obviously go back and forth here because I don't want to be the hater guy. No one wants to be the hater, right? But this is bullshit. How much publicity he's getting for this injury. Is it not? Like, I can never tell if I'm just being a blind hater with J.J. Watt. It just feels like someone in his camp let him know, and now everyone's writing stories about how heroic he is. I feel like everyone in the NFL plays hurt all the time.
I don't think that a torn groin is like – I'd say 90% of the NFL has a torn groin by the end of the season.
Yeah.
I don't think this is anything special. And something tells me J.J. is not going to be, like, aggressively pursuing legal recourse against ESPN for violating his HIPAA rights by publishing this. Like, something tells me J.J. is pretty happy that this got out there.
Oh, man. I can't stomach it because then everyone and every single website on the internet, I feel like we're the only website that actually bashes him. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I don't know if that makes me an asshole. But I just – if your reaction when you see – the headline from ESPN being like J.J. Watt won defensive player of the year with a torn groin and like this injury and that injury. If your reaction is like, wow, what a superhero and not wow, what a bragger. I guess don't listen to this show. I would imagine you probably don't like this show and you probably don't like me. That's
yeah. You don't like us anyways. If that's your mindset, like winning defensive player of the year with a torn groin, that's like me blogging with a hangover, which I did yesterday. It's like the exact same thing. Every blogger has a hangover from time to time, and they just blog through it. J.J. has a torn groin, just like probably everybody else on his defensive line. I guarantee you Vince Wilfork has like 6 torn groins. There's not a groin that God has made that can support that man's body weight. So like if I were Vince, I would be a little bit pissed off about all of this. But also when you have a torn groin and you get surgery for it, don't you have to rest for a long time? Like I would imagine there's like at least a few weeks that you have to be taking it really easy, right?
Well, that was the whole J.J. Watt, like, coming back every day. You know, he, like, dunked the basketball and said, oh, I feel a little bit better today. And then finally today, he's like, I now feel like I'm 100%, can give 100% to training in the off season because of that torn groin. I don't know if you saw, but here's a link to it.
Okay, so honestly, I'm just surprised that the media hasn't been, like, tripping all over themselves to praise him for how hard he's been resting to recover from this groin injury. Like, did he ever take a break from social media where he didn't tweet about like working out every day? Cause I'm not necessarily buying that he ever actually had this surgery.
Oh, maybe his body heals so fast. Who knows? He's Batman. Basically
he flew out of the hospital.
All right. We got another one. We got another segment. You got a PR 101 for us, right?
Okay. So we talked about soccer earlier this week and we're going to try not to talk about it as much as possible because we want to keep our analysis being like really spot on, really short, but there's an awesome story coming out of Germany. I guess it's awesome. It's funny. It's from a team called Deinster SV and they've got 2 players who are Sudanese refugees on the team. And they're at some sort of Easter celebration in North Germany. And surprise, surprise, some Germans targeted them with verbal and physical abuse and racial slurs.
Shocker.
Extreme shocker. Like, who would have ever thought? Now, but the best thing that they did was the team responded to this racism by going back and having their team photo doctored so that everybody in the picture is in blackface now and black hands. They colored in the faces and the hands of the entire team in order to show solidarity with their two African teammates. So they were trying to do the right thing. But I feel
I think they did the right thing here. It's like when someone has cancer or something and everyone shaves their head. I mean, if you're black and people are making fun of you for being black, make the whole team black.
You know, and maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe in Germany, blackface is actually like a sign of respect. As far as displays of anti-racism go, I'll put it this way. The bar for Germany is set pretty low. Maybe it's just like a nice way of saying we're on your team over there. If they did in the United States, it might be a different story.
If you do blackface in Germany and you just say I'm supporting black people, I think that plays. Because I would imagine that people who are not white Aryans get a lot of support in Germany. So they'll take it any way they can kind of situation. You know what I mean?
Right. Here in the U.S., basically the one rule is if you want to apologize for being racist, don't do it while wearing blackface. Like that's the one thing that you have to follow. And I guess in Germany, since they've really screwed up a bunch of times in the past, like basically doing anything except for physical attacks is considered like a good, it's a positive step towards racial harmony.
Let me ask you this though. If you do, obviously blackface, like if you do it as a costume or something, it's offensive, but Photoshop blackface?
That's changing the game entirely.
That's kind of you know, because then if someone calls you racist, you're like, oh man, it was just a Photoshop.
You know what's going to happen is people are going to start Photoshopping blackface onto other people's pictures without their knowledge and their permission. And so they'll leak those out to the press. Like that could be a good way. Here's a PR 101 stunt. If you want to ruin your enemy's reputation, Photoshop blackface onto them, leak it out to the media. And then by the time the story's already out there, like it's too late to really take it back. Everybody's already seen you in blackface. So you can say it's fake and it's not real, but in reality, the damage is already done. That's a little tip for me.
I kind of lost you, but at the same time, I think you're right on. And I'll also say this. Isn't crying Jordan meme a blackface in a way?
I've never thought about it like that, but I suppose it is.
So maybe that's the PR right there. Maybe you're like, hey, listen, look at America. They blackface literally every person who's ever lost any game ever. We're just doing it because we're trying to support our friend. You guys are the racists.
That's you actually blew my mind with the Michael Jordan comparison because I've never thought about it that way. But yeah, it is. I think it's worse actually than blackface.
This is a PR 101 where we went a little too deep in our own brains. I think.
I think people just went
to a scary place that I don't even understand where I'm at.
I actually think people followed along. You don't give your audience enough credit for being as dumb as we are.
That's true. That's very true. All right, we have Jimbo of the Week. You were flying, so we brought on our friend TJ Lavin to come and do Jimbo of the Week for us. Before we do it, do you want to give us your Jimbo?
Well, my Jimbo was just that I booked a terrible flight out of Milwaukee to leave after the debates, and I sat on the tarmac for 2 hours, and I didn't complain. Like, if I had to do it all over again, I would have complained because every other sports writer that you see out there
have to complain.
If they're slightly inconvenienced during travel, like if they have to wait, if they're the second to last person to get their baggage at the baggage claim, they're going to fire off like 6 tweets to customer service about it. So if I had to do that all over again, I would. What's that?
Do you know what I've noticed that the sports writers are doing now? They'll like give a compliment and then they'll bash them. So be like, I used to be a big at Delta guy until today. That's the new tweet. And they just flex their social media muscle. Nothing makes me more angry than when sports reporters and people who think that their time is more important than like the regular average Joe will send those tweets out.
Yeah, they like to say, sad to see how far Delta's customer service has fallen over the last 2 years. Used to be a big fan, Guess not anymore. Sad.
And then they'll be like, oh, well, I know that I'm abusing my social media, but maybe I'm helping other people who have had this similar problem. I'm being a voice for them. These sports reporters, you know, from the Denver Weekly or the Denver Daily are basically pretending like they're Malcolm X for, you know, travelers that have a delayed flight. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. It's my cross to bear that that Delta couldn't find my baggage for, you know, the 5 minutes that I was waiting in the jetway.
I'm giving a voice to the voiceless here.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess there was some silver lining. I got to watch Hateful Eight for like 2 hours by Tarantino. And should I spoil that?
Don't spoil it.
Can't spoil it? No. Here's my Hateful Eight spoiler. They use the N-word a lot. Like, ooh. a lot. And I feel like Tarantino's going down that route where he's used the N-word so many times that he's not racist. Like, he's one of the good white guys because he's not afraid to use the N-word in his, like, period pieces, because he's technically making fun of the racists from those periods. And so now he's actually, like, a hero for dropping. That's the thought that I get, at least.
All right, so that was your Jimbo of the week. Let's go to my Jimbo, Hank's Jimbo, and TJ Lavin's Jimbo.
Yo, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. Can you hear us?
Yep.
All right, it's time. Everyone loves it. The Jimbo of the week, the dumbest thing you've done all week. PFT is in flight right now, so I have grabbed my good friend. I would actually say we're best friends, TJ Lavin, to do Jimbos of the week with me. TJ, what's up?
What's up, brother? How are you?
It sounds like you're driving. Do you have a headset in so you don't get pulled over?
Yes.
That was such a lie.
I don't need a headset. I got Bluetooth.
That was a classic TJ Live lie. All right. So.
I got Bluetooth, bro. I'm not a lie. It's Bluetooth. It's not a headset, but, you know.
Sure. All right. So I'll start. My Jimbo of the week, usually they're going to be gambling related because I'm a moron. I have actually two. One was last night. I actually thought that the Heat would cover 10 points just because of D'Angelo Russell. That was dumb. And my other Jimbo of the week was I said that I wasn't going to let the Wisconsin Badgers get my hopes up. They hit a three with 26 seconds left on Friday night, and I actually said the words, Wisconsin's going to the Elite Eight, and then they Jimboed me. And that's my Jimbo of the week. Hank, what do you got?
I went home last night to Scituate. Went out to the bar to meet some friends. Forgot my license.
That's it?
That's it.
You got to do a better Jimbo next. You got to fuck up more next week, okay?
All right.
Okay. TJ, what's your Jimbo of the week?
Well, yesterday, like, my friend has this souped-up BMW, and I have this souped up grocery getter. It's a sleeper. And we come up to the line, and yesterday I smoked him off the line, but then I held it wide all the way, and we're in the middle of the desert, so I was like, man, I'm just going to keep going. And I let the car shift, and all of a sudden I look down, and I'm going 160 miles an hour. And that was probably not a good look on a street, you know? Like, 160 miles an hour, dude, that's a little bit fast. So I think that was a really stupid move. So when I went to bed last night, I, like, thought about it. I was like, man, that was really stupid. My Jimbo.
If I had to, like, explain to someone the essence of TJ Lavin's coolness, that story being, like, your Jimbo of the week is exactly it. Like, your Jimbo of the week was you were drag racing and you accidentally, like, did something really cool in the middle of the desert.
That's you know what happened? Bro, like, because I saw that John Jones got arrested for, you know, drag racing. And then, like, I'm sure he wasn't going 160 because he was just getting a ticket. They would have threw you right in jail, like, no problem in a second, you know? So I'm like, I'm looking at that. I'm like, man, like, he's getting arrested for going 50 miles an hour or however fast he was going. But he was drag racing. That's exactly what I was doing, like an asshole. And that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, man, that is so stupid. Like, why did I do that? Why do I do that?
You know, sometimes the boys will be boys. I think that's one of those situations where you get, you know, the competitive juices flown. And next thing you know, you're going 160. All right. I have a few reader submission. Some tweets. So you guys can give me, chime in whenever you want. I'm going to give the quick Jimbos from these people. Let me know if you got comments on it. Someone said they were sending a Snapchat to their buddy of his balls, and he instead accidentally sent it to his dad.
That's perfect.
I don't know how you have, like, what's the next conversation you have with your dad after you send him a picture of your balls?
I mean, it depends on how your relationship is with your dad.
Hopefully a good one, because that's an uncomfortable moment. All right, this one was good. Someone said they work as a server in a restaurant and accidentally asked a midget's girlfriend if he needed a kid's menu because he didn't realize he was a midget. Absolutely mortifying experience. Couldn't even apologize. That's tough. That's like when someone has a lazy eye and you mention it, but times a billion. I mean, you should be able to know when someone's a midget or not, right?
Yeah, dude. That's pretty bad. That's gnarly. I mean, the midget, like, that's, is it even right to say midget anymore? I don't even know if you're allowed to say that.
It's not. The midget
like could be cool, man. Like he's probably been hit with that a million times in his life, and so it's probably fun for him because the person feels like such an asshole and such an idiot that he could play some really good cards right there.
True.
You know what I mean?
If it was a cool M word, I don't think we're allowed to say midget, so M word. It would be okay. All right, the last one is someone wrote in saying they used a fake voice after going to the dentist in hopes of going viral. Come on. That's awful. You can't do that.
What?
They basically, like, faked that they were loopy after the dentist so that, like, their video would go viral on the internet.
That's so stupid.
So stupid. I agree.
I hate it when people try to be famous. Like,
it's the worst. And you can tell when they're being a tryhard, and it just makes it 10 times worse.
It makes it 10 times worse, bro.
All right, TJ, before I let you go, tell me what's going on Saturday so that some of the New York stoolies can maybe... Are you going to be in New York?
Yeah, man, I'm going to New York. We're going to be in Times Square. 4:30 to 8:30 at the Lit Store in Times Square.
Okay, awesome. So all the stoolies, all New York stoolies out there, if you're in New York on Saturday... Go to the Lid store, Times Square. I've actually been to that store. 4:30 to 8:30. TJ will be there. Tell him Big Cat sent you. And take a picture and tweet it at me. I'll retweet that shit because you are my best friend now.
Dude, we're best friends, bro.
All right, TJ, thank you so much. Be safe, man. Don't get pulled over, all right?
Hey, thank you guys very much, man. Much love. I'll talk to you later.
All right, later.
See
you. All right, that is the show. It was a strong show, strong bounce back from Wednesday. I have, before we go, I have two tweets that Landon Donovan sent out. He has been on fire today. I don't even know. I haven't waded into the waters of this U.S. women's team getting pay. I would assume they should get equal pay if they're bringing in as much money, but I haven't gotten into that. Like, my brain started to hurt when I started to read about it. But Landon Donovan, the first tweet, Someone said to him, Landon, so by that logic, social workers should work for free. Really disappointed in your stance here. I don't even know what his initial tweet was. He probably was not saying something great. He wrote back, this isn't social work or a government job. It's business. Sports is a business. People forget that.
I forgot that, actually.
Do you think people forget that sports is a business?
I think they do sometimes. Yeah, people think that it's supposed to be like a big charity thing, and it's actually not. It's actually a business run by businessmen.
Okay, and then here's the best one. Someone said, "Didn't you say if they make more money, they should get paid more?" Doesn't seem to be sexist at all. And so someone was backing up Landon. And he said, "Correct. I have a twin sister. I'm the furthest thing from sexist."
That's great. Some of my best siblings are women.
some of my best siblings that were born at the exact same time as me are women, in fact. So I cannot be sexist. I love this reasoning from Landon Donovan. I mean,
he was. Yeah. No, it's brilliant. You can't attack it. Like, what can you say to a guy like that?
Everyone has a mom. How can you be sexist if you have a mom, right?
How can you be sexist if you sleep, if you have sex with women? That's the ultimate act of love, right?
So Landon Donovan has a twin sister, therefore he is not sexist. I think that's a, I mean, I don't know. I know people will be like laugh about the black friends thing. Like, oh yeah, I got a gay uncle. I got a black friends. Tell me if you got a black sibling, twin sibling. You don't. Okay. So you can't get anything closer than a twin sibling. And so I'm taking this from Landon Donovan and I'm saying he is in fact not sexist. He has a twin sister.
I concur. Yeah.
All right. That's the show. We have a hot show on Monday. We're going to do a lot of baseball. We have Brandon McCarthy. I'm going to read this McCarthy before we do that interview. So we have Brandon McCarthy on Monday. We're going to do a lot of baseball. Everyone tune in. We'll do like some fantasy sleepers or something. I don't know.
I'm not going to do any fantasy sleepers.
I was you can hoping do this. You could tell in the tone of my voice. I was also not going to do any fantasy sleepers.
Okay. I'll give you the most obvious blatant fantasy picks of all time. I'll do the opposite.
I think Mike Trout's going to have a good year, guys.
Yeah. Bryce Harper. He's got to be in the top at least couple rounds for me.
If I was picking my fantasy team right now, I'd take Clayton Kershaw, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Chris Sale, throw in a Cub. I'll take Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant. I'll take those guys too. I don't know if you can find, I mean, that's pretty good drafting on my part.
I have already named all the baseball players that I know, so I'm going to trust you right, that's
tune in Monday when we talk about baseball. It'll be a great show. Have a good weekend, everyone.
It's BDI.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.